This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله ومن اهتدى بهداه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We have the hadith number 158 which was narrated by Anas ibn Malik and the chapter we are studying is the chapter that deals with Adhan. Brother Mustafa.
Narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a supplication made between the adhan and iqama is not rejected.
Now, we've talked about this hadith a lot last time we met. I'd like to ask, and I know that you know the answer to this, but the question that a lot of people ask is, why do we always make adhan? That is, let me rephrase that. Why do we always make supplication and dua between adhan and iqamah and we see it rejected? It doesn't happen. It doesn't come true. So what is the answer to this question? Mustafa.
There are certain conditions through which that must be fulfilled in order for someone's dua to be accepted. For example, that his food should all be halal, and what he drinks should be halal, and what he earns should be halal.
Okay, this is true. The hadith in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ told us that there is this man traveling, and he has dust on his hair and clothing, and he raises his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, and calls Allah with his names and attributes, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Yet, his earning is haram, his food is haram, his drinking is haram, and the things that he's wearing are also haram. The Prophet says, so how does he expect Allah to answer his prayers? So, if we look at this hadith, we find that the Prophet ﷺ is describing a man with things that usually are considered to be means for your prayer to be accepted, such as traveling. The Prophet told us that whenever a person travels, his dua, his supplication is accepted and not rejected, among three, of course. The second thing, that he has dust on his hair and clothing. And then there is a hadith where the Prophet says, alayhi wasalam, that there is a man who has dust on his hair and clothing, and his hair is not combed. And he calls Allah. If he says, oh Allah, I swear that you must do this, Allah will answer his prayer and he will execute what he wants him, what he wants Allah Azza wa Jal to do for him. And the Prophet also mentions raising the hands. And this is one of the things that Allah answered prayers to those who raise their hands. And the evidence is that the Prophet says, alayhi wasalam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, If one of his servants raises his hands, Allah is so kind and Allah Azza wa Jal is so shy to reject these hands that have been raised to him, so he will give him whatever he asks for. And finally, the guy is asking Allah with his names and attributes by saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab. And Allah, whoever calls him with his names and attributes, will give him. Yet, because he had this obstacle, he had this great hurdle, the prayer would not be accepted. Because his earning, food, drink, and clothing are all from haram sources. So this was rejected. Do we have any other comments? Yes. Mustafa?
I'd also like to say that there are more than one form of istijab.
Excellent.
Like God, there are like three forms. One of them that God will give him this thing that he wanted in this life, or he will save it later for him in the afterlife, or he will simply use it to just make something not bad that happened to him.
Okay. There is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells us that if a person makes dua, Allah Azza wa Jal will make one of the three. And I'll explain that in an example. I say, oh Allah, grant me 1,000 euros. I need the money for one reason or the other. So Allah Azza wa Jal, providing that I am doing all what's necessary, because there are manners of making dua, such as, Abu Malik?
Manners of making dua, having respect in the and asking from Allah.
Yes. How do I start my dua, Noor?
Firstly, we have to praise Allah.
Very good. You have to praise Allah. And secondly, what do you do, Fadi?
For istijab dua?
When performing, when making dua, supplicating, you praise Allah, and
then you pray on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. You make salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, because the Prophet tells us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all supplications are blocked unless you pray on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it goes to the heavens, but it's blocked. If you pray on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's given way. So let's assume that I've taken all the measures needed. I did praise Allah, and I did pray on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I started my supplication. And I said, oh Allah, grant me 1,000 euros. The Prophet says, alayhi wasallam, there are three steps. One, either Allah will give it to you. Three choices. And it's not my choice, it's Allah's choice, and He knows best. So either He gives you 1,000 euros, and this could happen in different ways. You know, of course, it will not rain, but it will come to you through one way or the other. You know, someone that you've borrowed from you ages ago, he comes back and give it to you. Or someone gives you credit for something and he rewards you. You may inherit, you may this, you may that. There are so many ways. Allah delivers His rizq to you through you know, astonishing ways. The second thing is that Allah will divert an evil thing that might have happened to you that is almost the same cost. For example, I've requested Allah to grant me 1,000 euro. Now Allah Azza wa Jal wishes and decrees, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or decreed before, that there should be this disease, this illness, this form of bad thing to happen to one of your kids or to your wife or to your body. Allah Azza wa Jal probably would have decreed that you have an accident to repair your car, and the car that you smashed into, it would cost you 1,000 euros. By you praying to Allah to grant you 1,000 euros, Allah Azza wa Jal will save you the trouble, and you will not have this accident that was supposed to happen to you. So this is one way of it. The third thing, the third choice, is that you ask Allah for 1,000 euro. Allah doesn't give it to you. Allah doesn't divert it, divert a bad thing that could have had happened to you, but He saves it for you on the Day of Judgment. So when you come on the Day of Judgment, you know that you have so-and-so good deeds and so-and-so bad deeds. But you tend to see something extra on the side. And when you ask, what are these good deeds here doing here? I didn't do them. Allah would tell you that these are the supplications you made, and we did not answer it then. We answer it now. So it's all depending on Allah's wish, subhanahu wa ta'ala, choosing the best for us. You know, there are so many times that maybe if we are given what we ask Allah for, then it would not be good for us. That's why Allah delays it. There are so many times we wish that Allah grants us this or that, and it doesn't happen. And 5 or 10 years later, one discovers, I remember a friend of mine, that he used to pray so hard when he was a teenager that his father allows him to own a dirt bike. You know dirt bikes. And he was so crazy about dirt bikes. This guy was 15 years old or 16 years old. And his father would refuse. Now, after 10 or 15 years later on, when this man became a father himself, got married, settled down, you know, cooled down, because he was, you know, freaking out at the time when he was 15 or 16, was hyper. After 10, 15 years, the guy recalls and says, Alhamdulillah, now I realize if Allah would have answered my question, my supplication, and my father bought me that dirt bike, I would have been dead now. Because I know that I would have done things that even Kevin Knievel would be able to do them. I would do things that are out of the question. But Alhamdulillah, Allah did not answer my prayers on that particular subject. So you don't know where goodness is. You don't know what's best for you and where it might be. I believe it's time to move on to the following hadith. Hadith number 159.
Narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, If anyone says when he hears the adhan, O Allah, Lord of this perfect call, and of the regular prayer which is going to be established, kindly give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the right of intercession and superiority, and send him on the day of judgment to the best and the highest place in paradise, which you promised him. He will be assured of my intercession on the day of judgment.
This hadith tells us what a Muslim should say after the adhan. And you should ask Allah Azza wa Jal to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he gains al-wasila and al-fadila. It's a place and a degree that only one is entitled to have it. And the Prophet says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I hope to be that chosen one. And he is the chosen one. You remember, we talked long ago about the intercession on the Day of Judgment and how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intercedes to all humanity. Then he intercedes to the believers and so on. So if you say this supplication after every dua, that is, if you say this supplication after every adhan, then inshallah, with the grace of Allah, you will be counted to receive the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Yet, unfortunately, not everybody recalls this. As I said, that there are so many supplications, but every one of us is indulged in his worldly life. He is indulged with his studies, his effort to earn a decent buck. He works 9 to 5, he does this, he does that, just in order to get by. And forgets that Allah Azza wa Jal provides the rizq, forgets that we are here in a transitional period, afterwards it's hell forever or heaven forever. We have a short break, and inshallah afterwards we will repeat the hadith and we will try to comment as much as possible, so stay tuned.
Let's talk. So this is something that you have to point out to them in the Bible.
Something which is, I think, very dearly needed by the youth, which is staying firm on the truth.
This is just one of the greatest examples for me of how to control your anger.
Within the framework of being the cleanest religion, the cleanest jurisprudence, and in the meantime, the kindest religion to animals.
Watch Let's Talk with Khalil Amanat as he interviews guests and discusses a variety of topics, everything from youth issues to religious issues. Join us here on Hoda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Just before the break, we had the hadith of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, on the supplication that a Muslim says after the adhan. And we said that whoever does this receives what, Mustafa?
Either three of one things.
Well,
either one of three things.
No. Abu Malik?
Intercession.
The intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who says the supplication after the adhan receives the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And there are different types of intercessions. Can you intercede? Can we all intercede? Anybody has an answer?
Well, first of all, Allah has to allow us or give us the permission to intercede.
No, that's on the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
I'm talking generally speaking. Can we intercede?
No.
No, no.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Can you give us an example?
Like from a master to a slave, for instance?
From? Like a master. No, I'm talking about intercession that is at the side of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'll give you an example so that we cut to the chase, as they say. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, that if 40 men pray the funeral prayer on a dead person, they will have the right to intercede for him. يَشْفَعُونَ لَهُ. So this means that by you performing prayer on the dead person, Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept your intercession. And it is said that those who fail to reach the level in paradise, same as their fathers, as in the Surah At-Tur, Allah says that their children will come to their level with their intercession. Allah will elevate their level in paradise so that they would be in the same level with their parents, and vice versa. The parents would be elevated to the level of their children. This is because of the mercy and generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal. As on the Day of Judgment, we are told that there is the greatest or the major intercession of all, which we've mentioned like 10, 15 programs ago, when we said that all the people go to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and then finally to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking them to intercede so that Allah Azza wa Jal would relieve them from the hardship they are facing on the Day of Judgment. So in some narrations, though it's weak, but people, scholars use them sometimes, they say it is so hard and horrific on the Day of Judgment that even the non-Muslims, the kafir, says, "Oh God, relieve me from this position, from the way we're standing. Even if you're going to throw me into hell, throw me to hell. But don't let me wait and anticipate." So this is the greatest or the major intercession, al-shafa'atu al-uzma. There is another form of shafa'a, and that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes to his followers, to the people in paradise, to be elevated in grade. So if a person enters paradise in so-and-so great, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes so that they are elevated. And of course, this is all by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another form of intercession is that the Prophet intercedes to people that they have been decreed to be in hell because they have committed certain sins. Now, it's well known to you that non-Muslims, those who do not believe in the oneness of Allah, will be thrown in hell forever, for eternity. There's no coming out, period. Now, those who believe in the oneness of Allah, such as Muslims, or the followers of Moses when there were no messengers but Moses, or the followers of Jesus when they were following really Jesus and believing in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal before Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent to all mankind. Those Muslims, they might have done few sins here or there, and Allah Azza wa Jal has judged that they must be punished in hell for a short period of time or a long period of time. God knows, maybe a year, 10, 100 years, Allah knows. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intercedes to these people that Allah does not punish them in hell. So they do not enter hell at all. So this is another form of intercession. And also the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intercedes to those who are already in hell. So let's assume that Allah Azza wa Jal is punishing this person in hell for 10 years for the sins that he has made. The Prophet comes and intercedes for him so that he goes out of hell and straight to heaven even before he does his time. And finally, his intercession to his uncle. What's the name of the uncle, Fadi?
Abbas.
Well, Abbas is in heaven, inshallah.
Abu Talib.
Abu Talib is in hell. The one who supported the Prophet ﷺ most, but he refused to declare the Shahada. So the Prophet ﷺ intercedes at the side of Allah Azza wa Jal for him, so that the punishment is reduced and he's not punished severely for what he has done. You remember, Mustafa, what is his punishment?
Two stones or two pebbles that are going to be in his sandals that are going to make his brains boil.
Okay. Stones put into burning stones, that is, not normal stones. Burning stones that makes his brain boils out. And this is the least punishment in hell. Yet, Abu Talib sees himself to be the most severe being punished. So it's not a relief for him. He thinks that no one is harder than he is getting punishment. But there are so many else being punished other than that. This is the last hadith in the chapter that deals with adhan. Do we have any questions or should we move on? Yes.
Well, there was an incident in the United States where a woman led prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who said the adhan was also a female. So can a female make an adhan?
Yeah, it's an American Islam, so that's the American version of it. So if you go to Far East, maybe you find the Chinese version of Islam of something else, calling for the adhan. This is common sense. It's been 15 centuries since the Prophet time till today, and all those who were calling for the adhan were men. It's been 15 centuries till date, and all those who were leading prayer worldwide, I'm not talking about 100,000 or 100 million or a billion, I'm talking about an axis of 8 or 9 billion Muslims, and nowhere we have heard that a woman leads prayer. And don't be deceived by the titles, doctor so-and-so or professor so-and-so. If they don't know the language itself, if they don't know Arabic, and if you listen to their recitation of the Quran, it's a joke. Now, because it comes from America does not mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's good, definitely. We have scholars to go for and ask. We have the Holy Quran before that, and we have the sacred and purified Sunnah to cross-examine whatever allegation there might be. For example, it's very clear hadith narrated by Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, reported by Muslim and others. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever innovates anything in our religion, it's rejected. So let's apply this to what this lady did in this mosque. And apparently it's not a mosque. So they tell me it's a place in a chapel or in a church, because they tried to make, to perform this prayer in a mosque, and nobody accepted it. So the only place that would give them a shelter and a place to do their stunt was a church. And this tells you about the sincerity of those performing this prayer and those conducting it. Nevertheless, now, I've seen the video clip, and it was astonishing, you know, seeing this woman next to this man, and seeing that woman in front, prostrating and bowing in front of that man. And I've seen the men, you know, looking, instead of looking downwards, just looking sideways and just waiting for the right pause to gaze and enjoy looking at. This is un-Islamic. And if you look at the Sunnah itself, during prayer, the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, if the imam makes a mistake, men should say, Subhanallah. And women should say, clap. Nothing. It's clap. Not permissible for women to talk at all. They should clap. And this is prayer. Because her sound in the masjid during prayer may disrupt and distract people. So how come, what happens if this woman becomes an imam? And she says, fear Allah. Oh my God, fear Allah. I'll definitely fear Allah. But not after listening to you. What you're doing is, you're asking me not to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And she menstruates. So do we give her a test, a checkup before she performs prayers, just to know if she's menstruating or not? And there's so many things. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to lower our gaze, not to look at women. And the sunnah is to look at the imam while he's delivering the speech. So what should I do? One says she's old. And what happens if we have a genius imam, female imam, that is 25 years old, blonde with blue eyes? That would be one hell of a prayer to follow. This is against, it's logical. You don't have to go through it and say, well, now I heard that there is another one in Italy, and a third one in probably Bangladesh or somewhere. And they're all trying to destroy Islam with their religion, with the way they're doing. They will not succeed. Muslims will not look even at them. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the hadith is in the Sahih, the best rows of men are those at the front, and the best rows of women are those at the very back. And the best rows and the worst rows for men are those at the back, and the worst rows of women are those at the front. So the closer they are together, the worst it is. So I don't feel like we have to elaborate a lot on this. I'm afraid that also this is all the time that we are allowed to have for this program. So inshallah, until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.